Happy to be in the Church of God, honestly. Like, where else would you want to be? Well, I mean, maybe some people want to be somewhere else, but that's, you know, like, it's such a blessing. Out of all the places you could have been, you know, there's people doing the wrong things right now. There's people wasting their time, but you're here with God. So, you know, give yourself a pat on the back. You know, it's good that we're in the house of God today. Today's service is going to be a little different. I asked two brothers to kind of share testimony, share a short word with us. So, yeah, it's going to be a good time. And I believe everybody's going to leave encouraged and want to go preach the gospel, amen, and go deeper with God, because there's always more to God. There's always more. You think you got it figured out? No, you don't. There's there's too much to figure out. God is uncontainable. Amen. So I would like Brandon to come up. This is my friend Brandon. He comes. Yeah, you can give him a hand. He goes to our small group. So this is, you know, small groups, guys, get connected, because they do, you know, change you. They do change lives. I know everybody who came to our small group, and I'm sure the other small group, you know, they notice a difference after it. So, yeah, so I'm going to give it to him, and we're going to have open ears. Amen? Let's go.
So, hi. I know most of you. Those of you I don't know, hope to meet you. So I'll share a little bit about myself. I'm a sophomore in high school. I'm from Colorado. Grew up in church. I have three sisters. Well, I have a few things to share that been on my heart. So I grew up in church, and my family, we all were serving in church 3 or 4 days a week. We were just on fire for God, you know. And unfortunately, a lot of things tend to fall apart, but I'm still here, you know, praise the Lord. So we were called to the ministry. My mom's side of the family, they're American. My dad's side of the family, they're not. And so we were leaving the country a lot. We were doing missionary trips. This was my throughout my middle school years. And so I saw a lot of lives change and people got saved, and praise the Lord. But the devil attacks Christians. He is going to attack all of you. He attacked my family. My dad was a pastor, and unfortunately, the devil got into my family, and my dad committed some sins that later led to the end of my parents' relationship. And so after that, I was in fear. I went away from God. I heard some more news after all this happened. This has been like the last year or so. And so my mother, she got news because we were doing missionary work. She later, coming back in from our last mission trip, she was accused by the IRS of a white-collar crime that can lead to multiple years in prison. And turned out a lot of the things were my father's fault. But so I'm here to get to the good part. Have a few verses. Sorry, I'm nervous. So Matthew 6:27. I mentioned I was in a lot of fear. A lot of change happened in my family, and I was afraid for what would happen to my mother. A lot of things could happen. So here's Matthew 6:27. This is about worrying. It says, and which of you, by being worried, anxious, can add a single hour to his lifespan? So that was a verse that kind of got me to think, you know, you can't worrying isn't getting you anywhere. And I didn't go to God first like I should have. And but there's always repentance. There's always coming back to God. I started thinking of a lot of bad scenarios, what could happen. It's 2 Corinthians 10:5. It says, we are destroying speculations and every lofty thing against the knowledge of God, and we're taking every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. We let a lot of bad thoughts get in. They can control our lives, and I was starting to let that become a part of my life. I hope that if it happened to any of you, you guys can just turn to Christ, because he's a loving God and he's here for us. Here's a good verse that was, it helped me out. It was Psalm 94:19. It says, when my anxious thoughts multiply within me, your consolations delight my soul. That just shows God's love, and it's a beautiful thing. And so I recently, there's been good news about what's happened. We had been praying for months and months and months for something good to come out of all this. And my mother went to court recently to see all that stuff, and God really showed his hand. The judge said there wasn't anything against, and my mother wasn't guilty. And so I know some of you guys had been praying for that. Thank you. God is powerful. And so a friend of mine, he said this. It really stuck out to me. He said, God's going to finish what he started. And I truly believe that. This is my testimony. This is going to be a lifelong story. I hope if any of you guys have testimonies, anything, God's going to use you through that. God's definitely using me right now. So my life, it was falling apart, and then everything just started to fade away. Then I kind of prayed a little bit. God was just showing his love, came back, and I wasn't being who I was. I was starting to be someone I wasn't, using bad language, bad music, just things that you probably shouldn't do if you want to be close to God. But God showed his hand, and he showed his love. Recently, I prayed, and I was baptized by the Holy Spirit. Praise God. And, yeah, that's all I have to share. This was on my heart. Thank you, guys.
No, that was good. No, thank you, Brand. Thank you for sharing. Yeah, Brandon, he came to he goes to my brother's high school, the high school I used to go to, and we invited him, you know, and God really started moving in his life, and you know, we were praying about his mom, that situation in church, and that's literally like God answering our prayers, because she had so much against her, and then now she has nothing against her. That's a miracle. So if you don't think, if your situation is super hard or your situation is unresolvable, like, God makes a way, amen? God will do something in your life. You just have to come before him and offer it up. And you know, worrying and stuff, that was something I struggled with when I was younger as well. And God just changes everything, you know? So yeah, praise God for Brandon. We're so honored and blessed to have you with us. And, you know, it was just awesome experience. You know, this guy's really humble. He came, it was actually before small group, we started praying with Brandon. And I'm like, let's pray for the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And, you know, God baptized him. So, you know, that's offered to every one of us. So if you're still not baptized with the Holy Spirit, you just got to come before God. It's a gift. Amen. So I have another person who's going to share. You guys have missed him. I hope you've missed him. I've missed him for sure. But Matthias is back, and yeah, he has some stuff to share as well. So Matthias, come on.
What's up, guys? It's so good to be back. It's just so good to know that I have somewhere to return to. Yeah, I came back from Bible school on Thursday, IDT in Jacksonville in Florida. That's where Johnny went to. He got me interested. I went. I can say it's the best decision I've ever made. It's exactly what I needed to receive. It's exactly what I needed to experience. And there's just so much to share. Like what I'm about to share with you guys, like that's only a fraction of what there really is, what really happened there. But God really has been teaching me a lot of things. He's really been exposing things about myself that I never really even understood. He really kind of took me apart. He showed me who I really was, in a sense. I came over there and God's like, hey, this is my time. I'm going to do with you what I want. You don't get to choose. And that's good because God's doing his work, but that's also a little scary because you never know what to expect. A couple things that I did learn in Bible school is honestly how to truly get close to God, how to really trust God. A lot of the classmates, I was the youngest one. I'm 18. Everyone else was already in their 20s. We had some people in their 30s. I was the youngest one, but it was good to kind of be in that place. And the reason I say that is a lot of those people, they, like, towards the end, no, not the end, but the middle of IDT, I was already thinking of, oh, what am I going to do when I go home? Like, I have to go get the ball rolling. I don't want to sit at home anymore. I don't want to be unproductive, because that's kind of what I did before I went to Bible school, and I really didn't like that. And all the other people, they had like jobs to go back to, they had a college to go back to, and I was just over here like, okay, I just graduated high school, I came here, I told myself I want to get right with God, I want to get his blessing before I actually go out and do something with my life. That's what I told myself. That's the reason I went, so to speak. And enough times I would find myself before God and I would be like, God, I don't know what to do. And I was really worried. I was really anxious. I really wanted life to kind of, everything to fall into place. I looked at other people. I'm like, they know what to do. They have a job, they have college, they have cars. I've never owned a car. I've never had a super stable job. I'm fresh out of the box, kind of. And it was just, God just really showed me that I could bring my problems before him. And I don't understand why sometimes people come to other people about their problems. I mean, that's good. It's good to seek counsel of godly people, but I would constantly be there. God also taught me to be completely honest with him. I would say exactly what I meant, exactly what I felt, and a lot of times I did have really disrespectful prayers. A lot of times I really would just pour out my spirit to him. I would be like, God, I don't know what to do. I don't know. Like, I'm worried. I want it to be good. I want to have your blessing. And one verse that just carried me through that time, like, I can say that honestly, this is my favorite verse. I connected with it the most. It's Proverbs chapter 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him and he will make straight your paths. And the key words is trust with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. I would go into the secret place. I would go into the devotional spot and I'd be like, God, I don't know. I don't want to start thinking things. I don't want to start making like quick decisions. I'm like, God, I don't know, but you know. And that's fine. I know that you'll do something. I know that you're teaching me to be patient with things that you're going to give me. Lean not on your own understanding, it says. Like the things I think about, Like, that's not what God thinks about. His ways are higher than our ways. And just the fact that I know that he has something planned, that he has my back, like, that makes me feel so much better. Because, and another thing is, like, how can God not do something? How can he not? He will always do something. He makes everything work for our good, even though the things themselves might be bad. He uses bad circumstances to mold us, to shape us, to refine us into whatever he has meant for us to be. And that just carried me through. I was so thankful for this. I was so thankful for this verse, because I was like, God, you got me. You have my back. Why do I need to worry? Because I belong to you. Being honest with God was also something that really, I really grew to appreciate. So in IDT, we had to do devotions every day. It was mandatory. We had to wake up and then spend at least an hour. Like, we had to check off on our little papers and everything. And me, just because I'm a morning person, I would wake up earlier than the rest. I'd like kind of walk over to the garage, and I just read my Bible, and I'd start praying, and I would just tell God whatever I wanted, whatever I felt like. And it was really good, because, like, my devotion spot was the garage. And the reason I would wake up earlier is I would wake up at, like, 5:20 every day. And the reason I woke up this early was because I would go do my devotions. And then when I was done with it, everyone else was doing their devotion. So I would finish earlier than everyone else. And then I can go spend, like, as much time in the shower as I want. Honestly, though, like, thank God for, like, hot water. It feels really good. Yeah, and then I would go, like, I didn't have to rush at all. Everyone else was, like, trying to do their hair, and I was just there, like so good. But I never needed to wait for God's presence when I entered the garage. I never needed to. I would always walk in and God would be there. I could feel it. I was thankful for that. I also don't really... my view changed on this, actually. Like, you guys know when people sometimes pray, they're like, oh God, come and fill this place. You guys know what I'm talking about. Like, I stopped thinking that way. I stopped praying about that. Because I knew he was always with me. He never left. And then looking back at before IDT, like, even though I wasn't going through some very good spots in my life, like, I see that he was still there. I just didn't know that he was there. And I would walk in the garage, he'd be there. I could tell him whatever I wanted to. I could pour out my heart to him. And instead of praying, God, fill this place, I started praying, God, fill me. Fill me, fill us. We don't need God. We don't need to ask God to come. He's already here. And we just, like this worship, this was good. I missed this. It's good. God's presence is here. Can you agree?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Yeah. Instead, like, have, like, God, fill me. Like, I want to be filled. Yeah, that is good. Yeah. Man, just, God is the only thing we truly need. Like, honestly, though, we might not want it all the time. We might go and do our own thing some of the time, but, like, he's all we really need. And I learned to experience that his presence can fix any problem. His presence can always calm my spirit. During devotions one day, I walked out of devotions, but God was still speaking, and he's like, okay, he's like, hey, you gotta write this down. And I'm like, okay, Lord. But, like, we all have rough times. We all experience rough times, and they're not good. They're not pleasant. But God showed me a little vision, a little picture. For me, God spoke a lot through pictures. Like, we had one guy that would prophesy. Like, I always thought that, like, oh, like, you gotta listen to when that happens. But God speaks through a lot of different ways. Most of all, the Bible, though.
Amen.
That's number one. But he spoke to me through pictures a lot. And I saw this ship on the sea, and it was anchored. The anchor was in the water, but there was a storm, like a crazy storm. And the ship was getting tossed and turned, and like the sailors are all freaking out. But God told me that, like, hey, I still have you. Like, I'm the anchor, I still have you. And even though, like, the water's right here, and the anchor's in the water, like, the ship might be right here, but the line is still connected to it. You're not where, you don't seem where you want to be, like, right on top of the anchor. You might be right here, but you're still connected. God says, I still have you. You might seem like, it might seem like you're going through rough times, but I still have you. I always did have you. So good. So good. Like, God just truly taught me how to really value him, how to really just understand that he is our Father, and we can come before him with anything that we want. We can come just as we are. Like, I don't need to prepare myself to go into devotions. I don't need to kind of sanctify myself. If I'm mad at God, I'll tell him. If I'm sad, I'll tell him. Because he has a right to hear these things, and he has the power to fix those things. Also, where is it? Devotions was one of the biggest things that impacted my relationship with God. Because just coming into his presence and knowing that he'll be there, knowing that I'll always find him when I look for him, that's just so good. It got to the point where, like, I need that. After graduation, my parents flew in, and they came for graduation, and then us as a family, we visited South Carolina because they have a bunch of friends there that I don't even know. And, like, I was, I had a friend that from Bible school that I lived in South Carolina too, and I wanted to go hang out. Honestly, I was like, I'm kind of tired of waking up at 5 every morning. But my parents, they would wake me up, and it's like, okay, давай в гости, let's go visit these people. And I didn't really like that, because I don't know these people, so I always just ended up sitting somewhere by myself. And I didn't do devotions for like 3 or 4 days. And I got wrecked. I did. Like, yeah, it's the medicine that I need to survive. I need that daily dose of God. I need that daily bread. All of us need it too. And it's so good to have, because it's always edifying. It's always helpful. Like you can't go wrong with it. You can't exit the secret place. You can't exit the devotion spot without feeling God's presence, knowing that he's always there, knowing that you don't have to ask for it. I just got home. It doesn't feel like home, honestly. It doesn't. It's so hard to get used to. Like, it's already difficult for me. Like, the devil's already using little things to irritate me, little things to cause me to worry. But I know that I'm untouchable. I'm washed by the blood of Christ. When Jesus died and bled, he's like, since we're covered by his blood, it's like, devil, you can't touch this. And you have to take it from that point of view. You're untouchable. God's given you the power to rebuke those things, to be stronger than those things. So, like, yeah, the devil can try whatever he wants, and God can use his work for the good of you also. So that doesn't give me a reason to worry, and that shouldn't give any of you a reason to worry. Man, I don't feel at home. I feel at home when I'm with the Lord. That's where I feel at home. Like I miss fasting in Bible school. I miss the devotions in Bible school, because that was That was my home. I may be here in my physical body, but like for my spirit, for my heart, the only home I have is with the Lord. And that's the only place I need to be. I might not want it sometimes, but that's all I need, really. Matthew 6:33, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Seek first. Look for God's, not look, you don't need to look for God's presence, you'll always find it, but prioritize it. Understand that it really is the most important thing that you can invest in. And I'm so glad I realized that. I'm so glad that I don't have reasons to worry. I don't have reasons to be sad. I know I can be happy if I continue to go after God. And it's so important to do that, because you're never at a standstill. You're either going up or down. It's like a car on a hill. And it's like a car going up on a hill. As soon as you let go of the gas, you'll start sliding back. You have to keep going. You have to keep pressing on the gas. Same way with God. And it is a new season for me. Like I choose to trust God with what he'll bring. I know he'll answer. How can he not answer? Other people, they had college to go back to. Other people, they had work to go back to. I had a blank page. I was like, I don't even know what to do when I go home. I don't want to sit at home, because I'm someone who really hates to be unproductive. But how can he not answer? How can he not show his hand? You just have to trust him. How can you call yourself Christian if you don't trust the Lord? Why do you run to men when God has it all? Yeah, that's just a little bit of what I went through. It was building. It was building the foundation, and now God's ready to build everything else. That's just a little bit of what I wanted to share. That was what was on my heart. I hope that was good for some of you. Yeah, God is so good, guys. Like, that was the best decision I've ever made, honestly. Amen.
Amen. It's so good to see that. Here, I'm going to grab my iPad, because it's so good to see that, you know, I was talking to Matthias in the beginning of Bible school, and then towards the end, I also called him, and he just started sounded different. He talked differently. His view changed. His heart changed. You know, and you know, even when I came back from Bible school, God's like, I'm not even done teaching you. You have so much more to learn. So Bible school is a good time, but it's not the only time to grow in God. Amen. Amen. You guys are tired, sleepy. Should have took a nap, huh? Does anyone have any more testimonies? Does someone maybe on their heart? I just want to give an opportunity. If you have a testimony. No? Okay. Well, I have like a short word, since we're already kind of low on time. And it kind of actually has to do with what everybody was saying here with Brandon, you know, his trials, with Matthias, with his trials. You know, God always works through trials. God will put you through trials, because if you expect your Christian life to be like, you know, just down a straight path, like, you know, what is that one Russian skazka? Like, kolobok or whatever, right? If you expect it to be straight, no, some wolf will come, someone's going to want to eat you, right? A Christian life, you know, it says the devil comes to kill, steal, and destroy, right? And if you expect your Christian life to be all happy and easy, it's not going to be easy, you know? Christ had to walk, he walked the perfect life, right? And yet he went through some of the worst trials that anyone could face. And we don't even, you know, we don't even go through trials like that. But Christ did. And yet he remained submissive under God. You know, and oftentimes when we're not submissive under God and we go through trials and we're like, we're not submissive under, we don't want to listen to God. We're just like, this sucks. I don't want to talk to anybody. I just want to do my own thing. I'm going to figure it out myself, right? But we're supposed to go through trials with God, amen? You're not supposed to handle it by yourself. God puts you to a trial. Look, a trial could either make you stronger or make you even weaker. It depends on your choice. It depends if you want to be submissive, if you want to be obedient, amen? Понятно? I know it's a little different since we don't have translation this time, but yeah, so happy to have Matthias back and Brandon in youth, and also my friend Cody's here, so let's welcome him as well. Yeah, I went to, me and Cody were like, we were best friends in high school. We didn't hang out with anybody, really. We just did our own thing and got into trouble sometimes, but it's okay. There's a time for that, too, when you're young, amen? Nobody said amen. That's good. So I kind of wanted to share about Joseph today. Everybody knows that story, Yosef, yeah? That he, where he started and where he ended up. So, you know, Joseph's story starts in Genesis, right? That he was born among 12 brothers. His dad's like, you know, I'm going to buy you a nice coat because you're my favorite, you know? And people say they don't have favorites, but that's not true. Like, well, unless God works on your heart, then you're not supposed to have favorites. But Jacob had a favorite son, and that was Joseph. And Joseph's like, you know, they would have their family gathering. And Joseph's one time, I had a dream about you guys. And all of you were bowing down to me. And the brother's like, what is he saying to us? Like, get this person. Like, they were mad at him. He was the youngest. Like, imagine if you're in a family and like, допустим, like, Антошка мне что-то такое сказал. Like, I would be like, Антошка, you crazy? You сейчас получишь откровение, you know? Like, you're going to receive a revelation. But no, and he did this in front of everybody. He did this in front of everybody. I'll read it. It's in Genesis 37:9. Then he dreamed another dream and told it to his brother. So first he already had a dream, and now he has a second dream. So first time he probably already got shot down. Like, the brothers are like, like, what are you saying? And he has another dream, and he's like, I'm going to tell this one too. Like, as if it's going to make something better. But behold, I have dreamed another dream. Behold, the sun, the moon, and the 11 stars were bowing down to me. But when he told it to his father and to his brothers, his father rebuked him and said to him, what is the dream that you have dreamed? Shall I and your mother and your brothers indeed come bow ourselves to the ground before you? And his brothers were jealous of him, but his father kept the saying in his mind. So it was interesting. They were already jealous of him. Like, he was already the father's favorite son. And now he's like, dad, like, event. The dad took it as, like, this dream, you think I'm going to bow down to you? So they already all, like, kind of, not hate him, but, like, they already, you know, when someone says something, you're kind of like, oh, no. You know, you don't want to be friendly with them. But then, you know, one day his father tells him, Joseph, go check on your brothers, you know, make sure everything's okay, like, And this was like, look, his brothers are working, but this little boy staying with his dad, probably being a little house boy, doesn't know what work is, right? But he goes, go check, and his brothers see him coming, probably with his nice colorful coat, and they're like, let's kill him. They literally said, let us kill him. But one brother decided to step up for him, and he's like, no, let us not kill him, you know, that's wrong and everything. So what did they decide to do? Throw him in a hole. Throw him in a pit. No, but they threw him in a pit, right? It just said, verse 18, they saw him from afar, and before he came near, they conspired against him to kill him. First, they were like, here comes the dreamer. This is what it says. Here comes this dreamer, you know? And then, you know, they throw him in the pit, and then they're like, okay, I guess we can't kill him, you know? Like, that's wrong of us. So they're like, let's sell him into slavery. That's a better idea, isn't it? It's not killing him, but he'll be alive. So they probably pulled him out of the pit. Anybody seen Prince of Egypt? One of my favorite movies. Come on. Prince of Egypt. No, that's, yeah, that's the wrong. There's another Christian, yeah, Christian thing about Joseph. Christian movie. Anyways, they like pulled him out of there, right? And they're like, Joseph probably thought, oh, my brothers have mercy. They just played a trick. This is, you know, I'm going to get out. And now they're like, oh, by the way, we're selling you. So, you know, go on your way. Bye-bye. You know, and then on top of that, they lie to their dad. They're like, your son got killed. And that's, never do that to your dad, because I don't know how they did it. I could never lie to my parents like that, let alone lie. But so it says, verse 25:37, then they sat down to eat, and they looking up, they saw a caravan of Ishmaelites coming to Gilead, right? They do that. And then Judah said to his brother, what profit is it if we kill our brother and conceal his? So basically he says, how are we going to gain something from killing him? Let's just sell him so we can at least get money. That's basically what he's saying, right? And then they, you know, let us not kill him because, like, he's our brother, he's our own flesh. And they sold him to the Ishmaelites for 20 shekels of silver. And they took Joseph to Egypt. What happens in Egypt? So, look, he was the favorite son who had dreams about, you know, people bowing down to him. And now he's a slave. He got sold into slavery. He was on top, somewhere on top of his family, and now he's the lowest of the low, basically. He's a slave. He doesn't belong to a family now, right? And what happens? God was still with him the whole time, though. Notice this. Even through the trials, God was still with him. And you'll see when we continue to talk about the story. But then it goes on, and he gets bought by Potiphar, this, you know, pretty high-up guy in Egypt, right? And Potiphar likes him. Because it says he was successful in what he did because the Lord was with him. So Potiphar basically put him over the household. He's like, you're second in command over my house, you know? But what happened? There's this one woman. Women are trouble sometimes. And, you know, Joseph was a pretty good looking guy, I bet, you know? Like, he wasn't just like, oh, he was a Hebrew guy, you know, probably pretty strong and everything. And this woman being married, guys, any guys, even girls, watch out for people who are already in a committed relationship and they're already messing around with other people. That's a red flag. You gotta run away from that. Anyways, he was going and she's like, sleep with me. And he's like, well, I can't do this. I'm before God. So even though he was sold into slavery, even though he was a slave to someone, he still understood that he was under God. He still understood that he had to be in obedience. Amen? So what happens? He ends up running away. Notice he runs away. He doesn't fight Potiphar's wife. You know, lust is this kind of thing. When you have lust, when you have temptation, God does not call us to fight temptation. Notice that. We do resist the devil, we fight the devil, but we do not fight temptation. Why? Because it's so easy for us to give into it. Our flesh, it's so easy to give into it. That's why the Bible calls us to flee from temptation. That means run away. If Joseph tried to fight Potiphar, you know, he could have fell into sin. Potiphar's wife, right? But we are called to flee. So whenever you have a temptation, whenever you are like, oh, I'm tempted to do something bad. I'm tempted to look at this computer screen. I'm tempted to say something. I'm tempted to, you know, do something wrong. What you don't like, oh, okay, I guess, no. Like, you're trying to control your hand. Don't resist. Literally, walk away. If your phone causes you to sin, get a flip phone, literally. I've heard so many testimonies. They're like, no, you know, my phone caused me to sin, so I got a flip phone. Boom, you fixed your problem right there. You're not supposed to fight it. It's like, oh, you know, I'll just delete the app. Okay, you'll find another way, you know? And that's how sin is so deceptive. They're like, okay, as long as you're kind of away from it, you're not going to get touched by it. But we're called to flee away from temptation, amen? That means friends too. If your friends constantly tempt you to do the wrong things, get new friends. Literally. Right? So it seemed like things would get better. He's like, second, he had a better life. He probably had pretty good living. He had good clothes in Potiphar's house. And then the wife, he runs away from the wife, right? And then the wife's like, he tried to do this. He tried to sleep with me. And what happens? Again, he gets thrown into, like, now he's a prisoner. So now he was like slave, so he had some rights, kind of. Now he's a prisoner. He has no rights at all. So he was higher, and now, again, he's lower. Notice the pattern here. He was on top of his family, like he was like the favorite, and now he was a slave, and now he was the slave, like he was the second in the household, and now he's a prisoner, right? You know, I think sometimes we in life, you know, we're on top of somewhere, we feel like we made it somewhere, and then all of a sudden, everything breaks down. We feel like we got a breakthrough in something. We feel like we achieved something. Like, God, oh, wow, you did this in my life. I feel so, like, on another level. And then something happens, and we feel like, again, you know, a trial happens, and we feel like we're on the bottom again. But there's still a bigger picture to that. You know, sometimes we pray, like, God, I thought you had my back. Why did you let this happen? You know, why would you let this loved one die in my life? Why would you let this person leave me? Why would you let, you know, but God still has a plan. You don't see the big picture. Oftentimes, we act from our situations when our situations should act from us. Does that make sense? Oftentimes, we can't determine the circumstance often, right? But our circumstance doesn't have to determine us, you know? We can eventually determine the circumstance. We can make a choice. What are we going to do this circumstance? How am I going to affect this circumstance? Not let the circumstance affect me. So he gets thrown back into prison. What happens in prison? He gets the trust of the prison guard, and now he's in charge of the prison. He's a prisoner in charge of the prison. You know, God will use you in the lowest of low to do something great. Like, God was with him, and he was able to excel. Even in a prison, even in the lowest part of your life, even when you feel like you have nothing, God will use you. God will raise you up and use you. Amen? Someone needs to say amen. Come on. Amen. Amen. So it says in verse 23, Genesis 39, the keeper of the prison paid no attention to anything that was in Joseph's charge because the Lord was with him. And whatever he did, the Lord made it succeed. Like Matthias was saying, it doesn't matter if you feel God or not. He's already with you. You have Jesus with you. You have the Holy Spirit living inside of you. You can't, you know, we sometimes pray, oh God, come, oh come, Holy Spirit. Yeah, Holy Spirit's already here. All you have to do is be aware of it. That's all you have to do. You have to pay attention to it. He's already here. God's already here. When we're like, you know, fill this place or whatever. Basically, what we're saying is, God, make us aware of you. Because he's already with us. That's what we have to do. We just have to pay attention. God, I give you my attention. You notice you don't feel God's presence when your attention is on something else. When your focus is not on God, good luck trying to feel his presence. You know? But God was with him through it all, through these trials. Right? He excels there and is made in charge of all the prisoners. Then, you know, there comes a fat baker. I don't know if he was fat, but all the kids' movies make him fat because he's a baker. And the cupbearer, which is always skinny for some reason. I don't know. He's always skinny. But they said they had dreams, and he interpreted them. Basically, the baker was cut off, right? He died. He was executed. And then the cupbearer was brought back to his position, right? And Joseph was like, remember me. Like, remember that I, like, basically interpreted your dreams, and these come to pass. And the cupbearer, what does he do? You know, I feel so bad sometimes. People are like, "Pridai privet," like, say hello to them, right? And I'm like, okay, I'll try to remember. And then I end up always forgetting. And then I see that person, I'm like, oh yeah, I forgot to say hi to my parents for you. I forgot. You know, and this is like what the cupbearer did. He forgot about Joseph somehow. I don't know how he forgot. He was brought back to his position, but he forgot. And then all of a sudden, the Pharaoh has a dream. And the Pharaoh's like, nobody can interpret this dream, you know. He tried with his, you know, Satan worshipers or whatever they were. Those who worshipped the idols and their gods. But, and then Joseph came and interpreted his dream. And he said, you know, there's going to be 7 years of drought. I need someone. You're going to need someone to manage all of this. You're going to need someone to gather crops. And the Pharaoh's like sitting there. You're like, well, I wonder who I can get. And Joseph, you know, is saying, you need to find a guy. And Pharaoh's like, I see wisdom in you. You are the guy. Why do you think Joseph became the guy? Just because he interpreted the dream? I don't think so. Because just because he interpreted the dream doesn't mean he was wise. Just because interpretation was from God. That was from God. It wasn't from him, right? Why do you think he said, we need to gather all this. We need to gather food for this drought. That wasn't the part of the interpretation. He already got the interpretation. But then he's like, this is what we need to do to, you know, do this, right? And where do you think he gained that knowledge from? He gained that knowledge from being head of Potiphar's house. He gained that knowledge from being head of the prison. His trials were used for him to prepare him for this position. His trials, so the trials you go through in today's life, whatever hard time you're going through, is to prepare you for a greater calling. Because the greater the calling, the greater the trials. Through the trials God had given him, he got wisdom and the skills. If he was brought, you know, he had the gift of interpreting dreams. If you took him from Jacob's family right away, he didn't go through all those trials and he came to Pharaoh. He's like, this is what you need to do. Like, do you think he would be able to think of what to do? Would he be prepared to lead this country, this nation? I don't think so. Because the trials that God put in his life, even though God was through all those trials, maybe you're going through trials and you're like, God, where are you? He's with you, but he's teaching you something. He's preparing you. You're not gonna go to the gym and pick up, you know, the biggest weight and like, I got this. No. What do you start? You start with little weight. You start with small trials, right? Then you get harder and harder. Then you're able to handle a big weight. Right? And Joseph had to gain that position, but he had to go through a process to see that progress. So, James 1:2. This verse has been, I don't know, very impactful in my life recently. Count it all joys, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds. Count it joy. You're going through a hard time, count it joy. Be happy. Who wants to be, nobody wants to be happy. But it's from your perspective. Because if you set your mind on things above, if you have a heavenly mindset, that means you're going to think differently if you're looking on the earth. You know, people who only live for what is on the earth think trials are like the worst thing. They think trials, oh, this sucks. I did something wrong. There's something not right. But if you have a heavenly mindset, if you're looking to heaven, these trials, you're like, that means something's going to happen. That means I have an end point. That means God is going to do something in my life. You know, if you're looking at the things of this earth, you just think you're going to fail in life if you're going through a trial. You're going to be worried. And that's oftentimes, why are we worried? Because we're focusing on the things of this earth, not on the things of heaven. That's why we get worried. That's why we get anxious, is because of how we think. And then in verse 3, for you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness, and let steadfastness have its full effect, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. Look, these trials that Joseph went through made him complete for the position he was supposed to acquire. If he didn't go through those trials, he would not be ready for that position. So if right now you're going through a hard time, God's preparing something for you. Be happy. Count it joy. Be happy. I much rather, you know, be happy when I'm having a hard time than be like, you know what? Yeah, I don't know what's going on. I'm just going to be sad. Because God uses people at their weakest points. God will make his strength perfect in your weakness. That's how he's glorified. You know, it's easy to say, wow, this person's so strong. And wow, you know, like he probably achieved something. But when you see a person is weak and they do something and they achieve something for God, you get like, wow, that's God in their life. You can't say, well, that person, you know, is pretty strong. They could do this. But they have to say that's God. Because a weak person can't do great things. A weak person can't lift a great weight. Only if God is with them. Amen. Can keyboard come out, play something spiritual for me? Genesis 50:16. So his brothers come. We know that story. He's like, go, you have a spy among you. You guys have a spy. And they're like, they're probably freaking out. They don't even know that it's Joseph. And they're like, you know, we had a brother once and everything, and basically making all this stuff up as if it's true, right? But Joseph reveals to them, this is me, guys, and they're like, whoa, right? He wanted to see if they had changed over the time, because Joseph did change over time. He wanted to see if others had changed, right? And they came up to him, Genesis 50:17. I beg you, forgive the crime of your brothers. They said, their father said to for them to say to Joseph, to forgive them basically of what they did. You know, please forgive the crime, because their dad already died. So after their dad died, he's like, okay, Joseph's going to kill us now because they threw me in the pit. They did all this to me. Joseph wept when they spoke to him. Then his brothers also wept and fell down before him and said, we are here as your slaves. But Joseph said to them, do not be afraid. Am I in the place of God? Even though you intended to do harm to me, God intended it for good in order to preserve a numerous people as he is doing today. See, when Joseph got sold into slavery, when Joseph got into the prison, when Joseph went through all the trials, that was to save a whole nation. When Jesus was losing his life on the cross, you were gaining yours. You were getting your life. When Jesus got all the sin on his life, you got all the sin off of your life. All the wrong that was done for all time was made right in one moment. So have no fear. I myself will provide for you and your little ones. If he became Pharaoh right away, he would not be able to handle it. Or forgive his brothers. Think about it. They threw him in the pit, sold him into slavery. He gets free. What's up, brothers? You sold me into slavery. And they're like, forgive. He wouldn't have been able to forgive them, unless he went through these trials. Let's stand up. God will use your trials to help people. I would ask God, why are you putting me through this? Why am I going through such a hard time? And then I realized at the end that I was meant to help somebody with it. Through Joseph's trials, he saved the whole nation of... He saved his family and the whole nation of Egypt. God will use your trials to do something great. So don't be all sad when you're going through trials. Yeah, they might suck, they might hurt, but God's going to do something through them. You might be saying, where are you, God? He's like, I'm right here. Just keep walking with me. God will use you. Trials will build you. You know, I had an example told to me, and someone had a word for me, and they're like, before us, we have a big mountain. We can count this as our journey, our calling in life, right? And you are the driver of the caravan. You are the driver. You have two horses in front of you and treasure in the back, something very valuable. If you try to go straight up the mountain, you're going to lose all your stuff. You're going to lose your caravan. You're going to lose your horses, and you're going to lose yourself. Instead, we must go around the mountain gradually. Yes, it might be harder. It might take longer. There might be things in the way. But through that, God is going to transform you. God is going to prepare you. There's no shortcuts in life, guys. There's no shortcuts to reach your great calling. And I had to learn that. There's no shortcuts to be more spiritual. There's no shortcuts. It's a process. If you go there right away, you're going to lose everything. Because what comes quick, goes quick. You know, but there's so many things that we have to be in charge of. Notice God didn't make the ark. Who made the ark? Noah did. What did God make? He made the trees. God will give you the raw material. God will give you the supply. And then you have to grab that supply and do something with it. You have to grab that supply and build the ark. God has given you things in your life where you have to put your hand on and start building something. Amen? When a climber climbs, Sasha shared this example with me. You know, when a climber first climbs a cliff, he places anchors every so often. An anchor is something, you know, a nail they drive into the wall so they don't fall down when they're climbing the rock, right? If he only had one anchor, he would risk himself dying. He would risk falling, right? But every so often, every so, you know, journey up, he would put an anchor there. That's like trials in our life. God will use those trials to build us, to give us a safety hold. He's going to be like, you handle this, now you can handle this. You're not going to fall. And those anchors, what happens to those anchors? The climbers, you leave those anchors in the rock. So the next person comes, the next climber comes, what happens? He uses the same anchors. People in your life will see the trials you go through, and they can use it to grow. You will be able to help others with your trials. Amen? Is someone ready to pray? Guys, so trials, again. I'm sure Brandon went through trials with his family, right? But that's so he could be stronger. Matthias went through trials. I'm sure many of you have went through trials. But that's for you to be stronger. So right now, I just want to, you know, pray to God that we use these trials to make us stronger, not weaker. And that we always see what God is doing in these trials. Amen. Dear Lord, we come before you. We thank you, God, for your word. We thank you for all the things that you have been doing, Lord, even in this youth, Lord. And I pray, Lord, whenever we go through trials, whenever we have hard times, whenever we're going through a storm, through a desert, Father, that you would remind us of what you have said. You would remind us that you are with us, God, and that you have not forsaken us. Lord, let these trials, Lord, give glory to you. Let these trials build us, make us stronger, Lord. Teach us, Lord, for us to be able to handle something greater, for us to grow, Lord, for us to strengthen ourselves, God. I ask that we would stand on your word, that we would not walk by sight, but we would walk by faith in Jesus' mighty name. Lord, that we would be able to walk it out, whatever you have for us in Jesus' name. Lord, I thank you, Lord, for all my brothers and sisters here. Lord, I ask that you would just show them the light in their trials. Show them the light in their hardships. Show them the light in their problems, in their circumstances, Lord. That they would be able to use those circumstances to give you glory. Use those circumstances to get closer to you in Jesus' name, Lord. Lord, let us count it all joy when we face trials, because we know that you are going to do something, Lord. That what you started in our lives, you will bring to finish in Jesus' name. We thank you that you are the perfecter of our faith, that you are the author of our salvation, God. And we ask that we would depend on you in everything we do, God. Holy Spirit, thank you for you. Thank you that you are in us. Holy Spirit, teach us all things. Lord, I thank you, Lord, that you will lead us through these trials. Let us be sensitive to the Holy Spirit. Lord, let us be obedient to the Holy Spirit. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for all that you want to do in our lives, Lord. In Jesus' mighty name, and everybody said, amen, amen. You may be seated.